You're with Clement Magnatella. 702.
So we're here at the Sandton Convention Center for the inaugural Black Industrialist and Exporters Conference. There are about 500 black industrialists that have gathered here from sectors including food and beverages. You've got chemicals, cosmetics, mining, film, tourism, among others. And they will be reflecting on the achievements of the Black Industrialists Program, but also explore the opportunities, right, aimed at boosting the entry of these black-owned businesses and producers into the mainstream economy, because that's ultimately what we need to do. And I want to bring in now the head of corporate affairs at the IDC, Tshepo Ramodibe. And then I'm going to take some of your calls as well. I know I couldn't take some earlier. 011-883-0702. If you are a black industrialist, I'd like to know what your experience is. And also, what have been your challenges? And I've asked a question this morning that, can we even talk about supporting black industrialists? Or even talk about the possible success of black industrialists if we still have government failing to pay them on time, if we still have load shedding that is killing their businesses? So I want to hear from black industrialists. And if you're a beneficiary of the Black Industrialists Program, I'd like to hear what your experience has been. 011-883-0702. WhatsApp on 072-702-1702. Mr. Ramodibe, thank you so much for making time. Good morning.
Thank you.
Let's start with the progress that's been made so far since the establishment of the Black Industrialists Program. What are we looking at in terms of the achievements?
Thank you, Clement. This is really from an IDC perspective. When you look at the broader impact of the program, which is inclusive of the Department of Trade and Industries grant programs, the IDC's transformation funding, but you also have the NEF that is a critical player. You've also got the export insurance company, but there's a whole combination of actors. We're talking about in excess of over 500 billion, you know, over the last 12 years, you know, jobs that have been created that range in the thousands. But I know Minister Patel and the team will unpack what the real comprehensive impact has been. From an IDC perspective, we've, over the last 12 years, invested 78 billion in what we call transformation funding. So that's money allocated to black industrialists, women-owned businesses, youth-owned businesses. Cumulatively, when you look at it, it's really sustained in excess of 13,000 permanent jobs and the like. So that for us, you know, and when you look at how we support industrialists, is financial loans, equity, but there's also non-financial support. You provide additional support because you understand that entrepreneurs, beyond just the financials, they've got other challenges they need to face: market access, you know, support with, you know, managing their businesses. And that's what the IDC then provides to ensure success. And you make sure that you're able to give a proper runway for entrepreneurs to flourish.
Yeah, and obviously the bigger goal is we need job creation. We need to grow the economy. So in supporting these black-owned businesses, we need them to expand so that they can play a critical role in the broader formal economy and create jobs. How many jobs from the IDC perspective have we been able to create through those supporting measures, through that financial assistance?
So 13,000 permanent jobs that have been created, and this is really across 638 or so, 636 business partners. These are businesses that are actively employing people, livelihoods, and these are connected to families and livelihoods. And that's more critical for us. So the need for an, you know, inclusive participation in the, in all sectors of the economy is what drives the IDC. When you look at the industrialist program as a whole, the premise is that South Africa is worse off. We're disadvantaged if we have the majority of the people not participating in mainstream sectors of the economy, which are critical, you know, and contributing to GDP. So South Africa needs to have a targeted program beyond just black economic empowerment, which was done previously, but you need to bring in active entrepreneurs, businessmen who have skin in the game. They're operational, Clement. So this is not just buying equity into a business, but you are really day-to-day going to the office, to the factory floor, producing content, material, aluminium, car components, food, feeding the nation, export quality products. that are sustaining jobs, which is more critical for us because we need to have people gainfully employed.
Yeah. I've been talking, even when we started the show, we were talking about the conducive environment that needs to be created. And how concerning, though, is it that there are things that are against black industrialists, and to no fault of you, as the IDC, but when you look at their government institutions that are still failing to pay, you know, black businesses on time, you've got load shedding that's killing their businesses. You've got some of them that are struggling to access the funding as well. So it's all good and well to have this program and say, this is what we want to do, this is how we want to grow these businesses. But if the environment itself is not conducive, yes, you are giving them money, you're giving them funding, but then businesses are dying because there's load shedding and they can't sustain these businesses.
And spot on. And I think given the presidency, when you look at the reconstruction, you know, the latest plan, to take us out of post-COVID, we understood what COVID, you know, some of the other challenges, load shedding, we know what the impact is on productivity and what the impact is on GDP. But I think when you see the black industrial program literally centered within government's plans to come out of this post-COVID period, some of the interventions for fast-tracking processes. So even when we, you know, the IDC got an invitation from Parliament asking how many, you know, suppliers have you paid within the allocated window.
Yeah.
And everybody is committed, and there is oversight on ensuring that entrepreneurs are paid on time, because you understand what the ripple effect is. We always say at the IDC, a business is just not a name in a laptop that you see. There's people, there's jobs. So any ripple effect, so even from a delay in drawing down the facilities, we know what the impact of that for that business is. They could miss out on an opportunity. So that's really where, from an IDC perspective, there's a standing commit to ensure that we expedite the processes. But the conducive environment is what we all need. So that's why energy, you know, will feature quite heavily in some of the conversations. So the discussions even with the entrepreneurs today will be to say, but if we need to prioritize, what are the key challenges that affect you? So that government already knows, you know, energy will be upfront, which is why the presidency's announcement around these interventions to ensure that you're supporting Eskom, but you create and bring in independent power producers, will literally help, because that for us is energy drives the economy. Without that input, we know what's going to happen. Yes, infrastructure is a challenge. Lack of roads that affect the distribution or delivery of material is a challenge. So all these various role players, and I think because it's sitting at the center, Minister Patel, you know, Minister of Transport, there's a concerted effort by government to make sure that you're able to release and ensure that you're supporting everything that removes these impediments and supports a better conducive environment.
Yeah, look, I don't know if there is a concerted effort by government, because in 2019, they made a commitment that there would be an additional 3,000 to 4,000 capacity of renewable energy. And if you ask Eskom how much of that is actually helping and is on the grid, they'll tell you not so much. So sometimes it's just, it doesn't look like there's an interest and an appreciation of the agency, right, to not only meet those commitments, but to just to do the job of ensuring that you procure additional capacity. But that's not your, that's not your department. That's the energy department that's stalling. I want you to talk to me about the role of the private sector. How do we get the private sector involved? Because it's not just going to take government in growing and expanding these black-owned businesses. We need private-owned companies as well to expand their suppliers, to include women, to include the youth, to include black-owned businesses. How important is their role in this whole scheme?
So if you look at private enterprise contribution to the South African economy, I think it's way above the 70% mark. So it's quite critical to any success of inclusive participation in the economy and the improvement of life. So I think the invitation has always been, don't just embrace the BEE scorecard and some of those elements and report on an annual basis without pushing yourself to exceed, you know, your last year's performance. You're seeing a lot of some of the companies that are here with us today, big multinational companies that are not just showcasing themselves. They said, we're bringing in our beneficiaries, partners who are enterprise, you know, from our enterprise supply development program, because you want to make sure that other businesses that are walking around can see the kind of products that they're producing. And when you look at the BEE Commission's report, latest one, you can then see which indicators, you know, we're lagging behind. I think there's been good progress in ownership, management, but it's really about those enterprise supply. How do we, what's the word, you know, create a ripple effect so that as a business, you have an opportunity to showcase and put your beneficiaries and partners up front. So anybody who's linked with you can then have confidence that that supplier can deliver. So there's that. But the broader contribution to socioeconomic development, we can't abandon, because I think we need, you know, businesses, we live and work in communities that are hard pressed, you know, and it's just not for government's ticket alone. Businesses have got to find ways to be actively involved in ensuring that the economic activity not only has a ripple effect as an employer, but through their CSI programs are able to measurably partner with communities and bring out interventions that sustain and improve livelihoods. Because our biggest challenge is hunger, joblessness leads to social insecurity, and that is something that we encourage all our partners to embrace, you know, in ensuring that South Africa becomes a better country and we start to move away from these very scary statistics around unemployment and insecurity, food insecurity and the like.
Yeah, Tshepo Ramodibe, thank you so much for making time. He's the head of corporate affairs at the IDC. I'm going to be bringing in some of the black industrialists that are here at the conference, and I'll take your calls as well. You may not be here, but I want to hear what your experience has been as a black industrialist. And if you're a beneficiary of the Black Industrialist Program, I want to hear from you as well.